Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to call your attention to verse 3 of our hymn, which said, "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." The gospel lesson presents to us a man who is tossed about. He has just received terrible news. His son is at home in Capernaum, dying. And so, he has probably spent a lot of money on doctors. He has sought various solutions, but all to no avail. His son was getting worse and worse. And then he heard about Jesus returning from Judea and coming back to Galilee. And so he determines that he will go to this Jesus because he has heard, number one, of the turning of the water into wine at Cana in Galilee. And he has also heard of the miracles which Jesus did when he was in Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. And all Galilee was talking about the miracles of Jesus. So this man determined that if someone was able to do miracles like that, surely this person was able to help him and heal his son, if only he could get him to come to Capernaum and to pray for his son. Now, while he is making his way into Galilee, Jesus comes to Cana, where he had made the water wine. And the scriptures tells us that the Galileans received Jesus enthusiastically, whereas before they were ambivalent about him. But now that he is a miracle worker, they heard about the wedding at Cana, and they heard about the miracles he did at the feast in Jerusalem, and now they are giving him a hero's welcome. This man also has heard these things, and it has moved him to come and to find Jesus. He locates Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he comes to him. All right, what are we to draw from this now? First of all, we are to understand that in our lives, we are often in a state of small faith, and God wants us to have a great faith. Sometimes we have faith in great weakness, and we have a tenuous hold on the promises of God. But the Lord wants to lead us by means of his word to having a strong confidence in the grace of God and to have faith that is clearly and certainly anchored in the word of God. This man's faith believes that Jesus, who has done numerous miracles, is going to be able to heal his son if only he can get him to come to Capernaum and to come to his bedside and pray for him. And so the Bible says that when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and he besought him. That is, he begged him. Now listen to the words. that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. All right? Now, there are a number of things that we need to have concern about. Number one, this man is drawn to Jesus because he needs a miracle, not so much because he believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But he figures that if Jesus could do a miracle in this situation and that situation, he may be able to do a miracle in my situation as well. So the man has faith, but it is a weak faith. The man also has a little bit of presumption, which is never a good thing. And he considers that because he is a royal official, that his request should be received with some kind of gravity. And so he comes and he asks Jesus to come down and to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. All right, now we don't want to overblow this, but you know, in our catechism and in the Word of God, we are taught that when we ask for temporal physical blessings, we are to always ask, if it be thy will. Because sometimes when we ask for earthly blessings, our motivations and our desires, often we ask for things that are contrary to God's plan. And so we must always come to the Lord, even in dire circumstances, with a humble heart and say, if it be thy will be done, right? And we may pour our petitions before him, but always in the spirit of humility, never determining in our hearts to prescribe the way, the time, and the manner in which God must answer our prayers. You see, this guy is telling Jesus what to do. Come down and heal my son, as if Jesus needs to be physically present with his son in order to do the miracle. So he is prescribing what Jesus is about to do. All of this reveals to Jesus that this man's faith is very weak and that he needs to move on to a higher level of trust in God. He needs to move from a weak and beggarly faith, which makes mistakes that are contrary to the Word of God, and he needs to come in secure and sure faith that God wants us all to have. God does not want you to be ignorant and to be weak in faith. He wants you to be strong by means of his word. And so Jesus corrects the man, first of all. Now, we wouldn't do that in this situation because we can't see into anybody's heart. And when somebody has something as serious as a loved one at home who is gravely ill, we wouldn't do what Jesus did because we'd be eager to help this person in any way that we can. But Jesus can see into the hearts of people, and he knows that this man has numerous needs, and the health of his son is only one of those questions. What this man needs is to have his faith strengthened. And so Jesus says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Now, Jesus is not refusing to help the man here. Jesus is encouraging him to move from trusting in the miracles to trusting in Jesus, to trusting in that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, everybody in Galilee was whipped up about the miracles. This guy, Jesus, can do miracles. Maybe he'll do a miracle for me. And the miracles had become for these people the be-all and end-all of their concern for Jesus. This man was part of that group of people. I need a miracle, and I hear that this guy can do miracles. And so they have this faith in the miracles in and of themselves, and they need to be moved from faith in the signs to faith in the one to whom the sign points. So we need to have a clear faith in the person of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and in the word of Jesus. And so here, the Lord Jesus, who knows all things and who always acts rightly, he gently rebuffs the man's weak faith and invites him to a stronger faith. And then we'll see what happens. So the man, he hears Jesus say, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." And the man says to him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." The man forgets all about himself, and the man forgets all about what he had been thinking previously about Jesus, and he calls him Sir, which to us doesn't sound strange, but remember, this guy is a royal person. He is a nobleman, and to call someone who is obviously a peasant — Jesus was a peasant, right? — to call a peasant sir is a humbling, an act of humbleness, all right? So he just pours out his heart and he casts his needs and his desires and his himself on the mercy of Jesus. You see, he has been moved from miracle faith to faith in Jesus, the Son of God. And he says, "Sir, come down ere my child die." Now, I don't want to make a big deal about this, but in the Greek New Testament that our English is based upon, the word "sir" is a translation of the Greek word "kyrios," which means Lord. It is the word that is used throughout the New Testament for God, all right? And so here, when the man calls him sir, he's actually calling him Lord, and he's throwing himself on the mercy of Jesus. So Jesus dealing with him had been effective. You know, sometimes we go through rough times, and the Lord uses these rough times to prune our faith and to teach us to trust in him and his word alone. And there are times when we pray for his help and it appears as if he's not going to help us. And then the answer finally does come through and we are thankful for it. And so here this man has cast himself on the mercy of Jesus. And Jesus saith unto him — now listen, this sounds very plain to us as it's written in the word. He says, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Or we would say it today, "Go on home, your son is alive." All right? That's what Jesus is saying. But Jesus says this to the man very distinctly and very clearly. He is giving him a divine promise that his prayer has been heard and that has been answered. When Jesus said to the man, "Go on home, your son is alive," as those words proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus, the son in bed at home opened his eyes and felt completely healed, because he was instantaneously healed. Or as we will learn later on, the fever left him and he was fine. Right when Jesus said those words. And the Bible tells us the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. All right, so he hears the word of Jesus. He believes the word of Jesus, and in that faith, he heads off on his way home. Now, Capernaum is about 18 miles away from Cana in Galilee. And because it's the heat of the day, he can't really go start his journey home until about 3:30, 4 o'clock. So he's going to travel in the early evening until it's too dark to go on. Then he's going to stop for the night, and then he's going to finish his journey at, say, 6 o'clock in the morning and get home somewhere around 9 or 10 o'clock. And so he heads off on this journey home. Now, here's the deal. This is a picture of us in this life. We have received the holy promise of God. You are saved. Your sins are forgiven. You have everlasting life. God is your friend in the name of Jesus. Do not be afraid. All is well with your soul. And we receive this by means of the word and the sacrament. But we do not see it with our eyes. We do not experience it in our daily lives. Outwardly, it appears like everything is going on the way it always has. We don't have a special mark that appears someplace on our body that marks us as someone who has received these things. Here in this world, we have no boon on earth. We have no thing that we can point to and say, aha! We have everything that we have by means of faith in the word. Faith in the word. And we often struggle, don't we? Sometimes we're pretty strong in faith. Other times, not so much. Sometimes we're really trying to serve the Lord with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strengths. Other times, we're kind of casual and blasé about our discipleship to the Lord. Our lives go through ups and downs like this, but nevertheless, we have a word, and that word promises us wonderful, wonderful things. But the wonderful things come to their full fruition in the kingdom of glory, not in the here and now. And so we live in the here and now by the word only. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that is how it is in this life. You can imagine this man walking home. You can imagine him believing in the Lord and rejoicing, but then doubts would come into his mind and he would struggle. And oh my goodness, what if, what if, what if? You know, you get the what ifs. You know, and there are times when you're grabbing hold of the word of God, but then you get the what ifs and you start to doubt and you start to struggle. Fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Though tossed about, O Lamb of God, I come. And so in this life, We have the word, we have the sacraments, and these are the means by which Jesus sustains our faith so that we are not lost, but we are saved. And on the last day, faith will give way to sight, and we will see and experience in all of its fullness what we now possess by faith. And so this man has a long journey home. And on that journey, he has had to struggle with his faith and with his doubts. But faith wins the day. And so as he is getting near home, the servants come running out to him. And they are all excited. And they say, "Your son is alive! Your son is alive!" And he asks a question. He goes, "What time did he get better?" And they said, "Yesterday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him." And it's at that moment that the man received a confirmation of the word of Jesus and a confirmation of his faith in Jesus. Right? And he knew that it was at the same hour that Jesus had said, "Thy son liveth." And he knew that when Jesus uttered those words, his son awoke from his fever and was fine and had recovered from his illness. And so the man became a Christian, and his entire house became a Christian household. That's what it means in our text when it says, "himself believed and his whole house." It doesn't mean that they just believed that the son was healed by a miracle of Jesus. It means they became disciples of Jesus. They became Christian believers. They now live their lives as confessing, believing Christians in the world. And so this is what God does to us when we receive answers to our prayers. You know, sometimes it takes God a while before the answer to our prayers comes. But God always answers every proper Christian prayer. And therefore, we get to rejoice whenever we have an answer to prayer. And these answers to prayer, they are confirmations that our faith in Christ is a right faith. However, the full confirmation of our faith is in the world to come when Jesus says to us, "Come, thou faithful, enter into the joy of the Lord." So we rejoice when our prayers are answered, but we know that the word of God is the means by which the Lord strengthens us in faith and keeps us in faith. And every once in a while in our answered prayers, he gives us little confirmations here and there that our faith is indeed true. But we will on that day experience in all of its fullness the great consummation, the great homecoming of all the saints, where all the promises of God are fulfilled at once and in all their fullness, in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.